large amount of growth in Silas, probably over the last 6 months. And it's the Spirit of God at work at him and other people. I think Matthew played a big role in that too. Somebody with an ear to listen and talk.
Ask good questions.
Yeah. So, and others of y'all in your communication with Silas. And so I'm blessed to give Silas the opportunity to share his testimony here this morning. He has desired to be a member of this church. And so usually what we do is we'll have Silas share his testimony, and then we'll wait a week. If there's someone that wants to ask him some more questions, communicate with him, you got a week. And if there is no objection to it, then next Sunday we will accept him as a member of this church. So, Silas, go ahead.
After
Silas shares his testimony, let's stand and just have a verse of song or a song together, and then we'll turn the time over to Brother Emmanuel.
Thank you. This isn't so bad. You all are much tinier than I thought you would be. I thought you'd be bigger and scarier. and thank you for the songs that built my confidence in the Lord. That was awesome. I came in here and my heart was kind of like, but those songs definitely gave me some strength. So where should I start? I guess I'll start with when I was young. I went through a lot of difficult things, and from a young age, I just didn't see the point in living, really. And I would say that the book that brought me to, the book that brought me to Christ was kind of the Thinking in Ecclesiastes. So I'm going to be in Ecclesiastes quite a bit. If you guys want to go there to start with, that would be great. So in Ecclesiastes 4, starting from verse 1, "Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. Therefore I praise the dead who were already dead. Yet better than more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun." So I would say before I was 10, I tried to commit suicide at least once, and definitely had thoughts of suicide much more than that, and had close calls besides, falling out of trees and all sorts of dangerous things. But that thinking was in me. And let's turn back to Ecclesiastes 1. Verse 2. "Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" So I, at a young age, felt very logical and thought about these things and reasoned with myself that life was simply void of meaning, had no point to it. And I was exposed to Christianity through basically all my life. I was baptized in the Catholic Church when I was a baby. But I would say that I took it for granted, or I thought of it cheesy, like, oh, of course, Jesus died for my sins. Like, I thought of it that way, and now I'm so sorry for that thinking. That is such blasphemy. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 6. And verse 7, just another couple verses that shows my thinking. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. For what more has the wise man than the fool? What does the poor man have who knows how to walk before the living? And then let's turn immediately to Ecclesiastes 3. Verse 9. Sorry, I got you guys. So I knew who God was, and I knew that he was there. But when I was younger, I wanted to do it a different way. I knew in my head that this is what that God was. Well, he was this. Let me read this. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. So I knew that in myself, nothing had a point to it. Absolutely nothing. But in God, everything has a point, has meaning, has value, has reason. And so when I was 11, I had this head knowledge. And one night, I prayed to God, and I asked him to make my life worth something. And after that, things didn't exactly change immediately. I had a spike of faith, and I charged out, and I was like, yes, I'm going to learn about God, and I'm going to seek him, and I'm going to find him, because Luke 11, I don't know. You guys can turn there if you want, but I would understand if you guys don't want to jump around with me. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So when I was younger, these verses have always been like my verses. They've always been part of my walk with God, and I've always held on to them. And they've always been a promise to me. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. And so as I went around, I jumped to a lot of churches when I was little, like, I don't know, 10 before I was, I don't know how old I was, but Linnea and Chad were among one of the churches I went to when I was like 3 or something like that. And anyway, probably one for every year was added to my to my life. So as I was going to these different churches, I was seeking God, I was seeking truth, I was seeking Him, but I was seeking Him in theologies that were all very different from each other in each of these churches. So I got mad with God. I was like, I'm seeking, I'm knocking, I'm asking, why aren't I finding? And so that thinking continued in my life, and I kept on going to new places, learning new things, and seeking God in this way, finally thinking, oh, I have truth. And then I would have a spiritual high, I guess you could call it. And then, you know, something else would happen, and then I'd question that and doubt that, and I'd be like, oh, well, I guess I can't trust this, and I can't trust God. And that would follow with all sorts of doubts, pretty much everything you can think of. And something clicked. I met a couple friends. God gave me a lot of really amazing people in my life along the way through these hard things. And oh man, if I just listened to them, like really listened to them, like 8 years ago, my life would be different. But hey, God made it this way, so I guess I'll roll with it. Let's turn to Romans 5. Oh, wait. No, sorry. I lied. I made a mistake. I didn't lie. Let's go to Micah 7. So as I struggled being a Christian through all these different churches and theologies and my personal struggles with sin, the sin just made me question more and more if I was actually a son of God or what I was. But these verses here in Micah chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, always gave me a hope. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. Then she who is my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will see her. Now she will be trampled down like mud in the streets. So, through all of these tough times, this was actually out of a sermon that John Piper, that's you, Tiara, sorry, John Piper preached, and it was powerful. It made me realize that even though I was broken and a terrible Christian, terrible at the work that God gave me, you know, I'm still a Christian, and God could still use me for great things, and maybe even more likely to use me for great things because I would know it's not me, it's all Him. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will rise. Has always been in my head. John Piper's speaking it. He says it with passion. Let's turn to Romans 5, anyone that's still following me. And so through all of that, I kept on trying to find God in theologies and doctrines and laws and rules. But he wasn't in any of that, and that's what made me stumble all the time. I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So I finally recognize that God is not manic, and he's not a narcissist, and that just because his word says in one place, whoever believes, but in another place it says, no, these people don't go to heaven and those people don't go to heaven, so, well, it doesn't contradict. Even though there might be things that seem like they contradict, they do not contradict. They intertwine with one another. And it's beautiful. So I realized that I can trust him, and I can trust that he loves me, and that he died for me, and that I might still screw up, but that's okay, because he knows my heart, and he knows I'm his child. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. This podium's nice. I feel like I can hide behind it. It's huge. Sorry. Okay, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, this last verse used to ruin this whole section for me. Because. It says God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, these good works. So I was like, okay, so it's not really me, and it's him manipulating me or whatever. And I didn't like that. I'm a little bit of a rebel, still am. But God's working that out in me. Another thing, in verse 10, we are his workmanship. I didn't like that either. I didn't like that I'm his. I'm mine. And even when I was a Christian, that was still something that I got caught up on. I don't know how I thought of it before, but somehow I was like his slave, but still mine. Like, he got to decide what I did, but I still had like some time when I wasn't his slave or something like that. I still craved the lusts of the flesh. And the same thing for good works. He created us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's beautiful. Now I can look at that and I can say, that's beautiful. But before, I would have said, well, created us for good works. Like, okay, so he makes us do those good works, you know. But praise God, I can now look at this and not have a hypercritical eye. I mean, it's good to have a critical eye sometimes, but first, just go through it and get what the writer was saying. Like, this was massive encouragement. Like, this is beautiful. And that's all I want to say on that is, like, I used to get all ruined because the last verse, and I would focus in on that. But now I can simply enjoy God's word and him. And this, yeah, like Melvin said, this mainly happened in the last 6 months. And something happened. I'd say a big part of change in me was thanks to God testing my rebelliousness and my pushback. And I'd like to thank Daniel for allowing God to use you like that. And I'd like to thank Matthew and Henry and all the church leaders for putting up with me while I was thinking through those things and giving me time. And I'd say God's done so much work on me in the last year. I think it's more than I have allowed him to work on me in all my years past being a Christian. So let's turn to Psalm 100, and I'll stop there. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Thank you all. And you didn't.